and now I've announced by Ram Prasad to speak about, oh, and I always told everybody how I got better in art by chanting Hare Krishna, by reading Bhagavad Gita, by praying to my Gurudev. So now I'm asked to tell how I came from where I began in art to where I am now, just from a material point of view. So that I had to meditate on deeply, because I usually don't think in that way. So please excuse me if I goof up a couple of times and bring in the spiritual too early. I'll end with the spiritual, beginning with the material in terms of what techniques I changed, what mediums I changed, what interpersonal relationships I learned how to develop, that is, communication tools, and then we'll end with the spiritual. Okay. So the latest and most advanced in the art productivity that I'm involved with now is an art CD of the work that me and my team did in terms of box relief in Vrindavan, in Govardhan, and line drawings for books, our guru's books, and line drawings for the box relief, and also paintings for the books. So this is the high tech that we've gotten, and we're almost ready for publication. So I think the way that I got here to this, maybe I should show you for a few minutes. We'll show you how it works. So it's a very interactive DVD. I also feel a little shy because I know that this whole complex of IT is like the Silicon Valley of California. And we're not so high-tech, but at least I can show you our progress. So it's showing the different kinds of artwork, very interactive. The paintings that I did for various books, which shows, this is my teacher, my guru, and my art teacher as well, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. And these are various paintings that I did under his guidance for his books and his temples. So in this regard, I could never have done this by myself, this interactive DVD, but one of the areas of performance, excellence, improvement is, it's not what you know, but it's who you know, and it's how you interact with them to encourage them to work with us. So I'll be talking about, because I really love all the interpersonal skills which increase team productivity and genius and make a team a champion team. So I was speaking with Dave, your, you call him training manager, and he was telling me how once a month he takes the groups to the forest and they do games for learning how to relate interpersonally. And so I'll tell you more how that aspect helps with my painting. Okay, so we have various paintings, and then the descriptions, and if you click there, then the painting gets bigger, and in this way, people can teach the art and the philosophy of the art and the stories behind the art and Indian culture. I think all these pictures are very familiar to you, being in India and in Bangalore. And so we'll jump to the... and then it has singing. I'm going to make the singing louder a bit. And it has background music, which you can turn on and off. So this is how I'm thinking now, in the last, say, 15 years. And these paintings are famous now all over the world. In America, Europe, everywhere. Okay, so then there's also the bas relief, which, if any of you ever come to Vrindavan, Govardhan, you can come to our center, Giridhari Gaudiya Math, and they're all 10 feet high. So under my direction and my colleague's direction, Manjari Dasi, we made these bas reliefs from line drawings that we did, from hearing from our teacher, our Gurudev, about the particular pastimes, and reading about the pastimes in the ancient Indian Vedas. You know, there's Krishna Vasina Hill. And also, another thing where we used others' help to make the drama of the art very effective is that we hired a professional cameraman from Delhi to come to Vrindavan, and he went up on the same rafters that we stood on for 2 months to do these bas reliefs. They're way, way high on the wall. And then he and his team made very, very intense spotlights coming from the top and a little bit of an angle. And so they were photographed in that way so you get the full three-dimensionality. And then another friend of ours in the computer, so again, it's not what you know, but who you know and how you relate to them. Another friend of ours, because when you take high lighting on a bas relief, you get these long shadows, and that takes away the realism. So in computer, he made the shadows that were very long, like a big shadow onto the grass, which you'd never see, or a shadow onto the sky, which is just that, which you'd never see. And then by computer, he took those excess shadows out just to give the beautiful three-dimensionality so the viewer can see it as a three-dimensional bas relief. And then we have the line drawings. Line drawings for books, line drawings that we did for the bas relief. Yeah, basically that. And so our colleague made you just click on it and it gives the descriptions and it opens up short and it opens up long. So this is very, very new for us. And in this way, in terms of innovativeness and increased productivity, I would previously have to myself travel around the planet to show the art, explain the philosophy and the stories and about ancient Indian culture, and how one can apply ancient Indian culture in Western day-to-day affairs for more peace and happiness, for example. So now we'll be saving all the plane fare, saving all the physical energy, and now we can sell the DVD, and any person who loves subject matter can take it to their colleges or their homes, look at it on their own computers. So that is one example of our increased productivity and innovativeness. Then I'll show you how the paintings are in the making. And then while doing that, oh, see, here's our teamwork.
Can we explain how we start with the painting and what are the steps we follow?
Yeah, I'm going to show you that right now. Okay, so let's go to in the making, the steps. So it shows that, you know, have you ever studied for your protect productivity and innovativeness. Have you studied the 7 habits of highly effective people like Stephen Covey? You're all familiar with that?
Yeah, we have the course.
Beautiful. So we find in our devotional work that these 7 habits also help us. So in the beginning, before you show it, I'll just say what I used to do, and I'll show you my older work also. In the beginning, I went right to the canvas, like I had a subject, I went right to the canvas and just started drawing the face and then the shoulders. And then when I got to another part, some background, I found that I didn't have any room for it because I put the head and the shoulders in first and then it was in the wrong place, so I would lose 2 weeks. So now, Stephen Covey's first habit, begin with the end in mind. So now, when I make we do everything by sketches so that we can see the end first. First there's can you make it go slowly? First there's a very quick, what we call a thumbnail sketch, but still the whole thing is there. And then we develop that on paper so that any changes could be made quickly rather than how I used to do it, where after working for 2 weeks, I'd have to start the whole 2 weeks over again. I lost 2 weeks because I went right to the canvas and didn't plan. So here it is finally in the book. You know, the month of Damodar, the month of Kartik, November. So again, you start with the whole thing in mind, with the end in mind, doing a thumbnail sketch, then a more detailed sketch. And then I'll show you also how we take pictures of our some of our colleagues. And then, so once I've done a color sketch, then I would use the detail sketch, use the color sketch, and the tone sketch. The tones show the drama. So actually there are several subject matters. That is, it's not only the subject matter of Mother Yasoda binding Krishna, that's obviously a subject matter, but then there's the subject matter of the drama. That is it a very active picture? Is it a violent picture? It's very peaceful. So when we do the tone sketch, which is over there, then, or in this particular case, it's over here, when we do the tone sketch, we get the drama. And then when we put a piece of tracing paper. It's just tracing paper over tracing paper. That was another innovative thing that increased my productivity and my team's productivity, no end. That is, first we do the thumbnail sketch very quickly, and then tracing paper, so we don't lose the original impulse. Because when you put something down really quick, then your whole heart's there, and your whole mind's there, thinking of the completeness of it, or in Western terms, the gestalt of it. And so then, tracing paper, develop it more, and then because I'm not so expert, but I know how to do folds, or my anatomy is not perfect, then we take pictures of other devotees doing that, so we get the exact lighting that I want, and I know from the tone sketch I'm planning, what is the consistent lighting throughout the whole thing. And then when we take the pictures, that's in the same lighting. So the darks and lights create a certain kind of drama. Radharani is feeling alone. She rejected Krishna, so he went away, and so now she's sulking that, why did I say that? So the drama is also there. In the colors are drama, in the tones are drama, in the composition is drama. Like here's another one. You see we started way up there in the corner, beginning with the end in mind, and then coming more and more detailed, then the tone sketch, color sketch, and then you see the painting. So this was a big help for us when we developed that system. Okay, and see these various with the, to get the perspective right. Any others, or is this the last?
There's more.
One more in the making. Okay. I'll show you just one more amazing. This picture right here is about 1.5 inches big, this first one here. And then when it's small, and I also began with the end in mind because I knew it was going to be for a book. So I designed it in such a way that there's lots of space on top that no harm if I cover up with a book title. And then I just threw myself into that 1.5 or 2 inches and then developed from that, as you can see. And then as colors get there, again with tracing paper over the thumbnail sketch, was also only 1.5 to 2 inches. So I can feel the whole of it, rather than, as I said, you know, begin with the eye and then with the canvas, then the nose. Okay. So we do use the big help for me is The Seven Habits by Stephen Covey for interpersonal relationships because, for example, one of my art colleagues painted in the two gopis in the background. So there was a time when another one of the habits, win-win, when I wouldn't go for win-win, and if I didn't exactly like her work, then I would just do it over again and change it to the way I liked it. And what would happen, that instead of working with her and encouraging her and praising the parts that she did do good, and then guiding her, inspiring her how to make it better, rather, I would just say, oh, she's no good, and do it myself, and what happens? Take me more time. Rather, I could have started something else, and she's gone. She doesn't want to work with me anymore. So there was a win-win that I didn't do, and now I try to do that more now, because we know that win-win means you have two people, I have three people, and we work together, we make 8 or 9, not just 5. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. So we found that synergistic thinking also helps. Also now we want to train others how to paint because I'm kind of a dying breed. And so now with this interactive DVD, people all over the world can see the process that we used. Do you have any other questions that can guide me in speaking?
Technology.
That you'd like to speak technology.
The glitchily, the GLI, whatever. Speak about the usage of watercolors, how do you...
Oh, yes. So in the beginning, that beginning for me means like 43 years ago, 1966, when I... Yeah. Now we're going to take you to how I started. Now you saw the end. So now... you can appreciate more how we got there by seeing where we started, which is pretty babyish.
The journey.
Sorry?
The journey to perfection.
The journey, yeah, sure. So, this is what I did in 1965, and I was doing still life and what do you call it, you have somebody posing? Still life with models.
Portraits. Mm-hmm.
And this one, portraits, yes, thank you. This one I did in 1966, just before I met my spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada. So this was in an art show. I used to attend City College of New York. And at the end of the my first year there, we had an art show and all the pictures were on the wall. So I brought my friend and he said, which one is yours? So I was trying to be humble and I said, well, pick the worst one. And he picked this one. So that's where I started. Okay. So that's still life, which now I call as a still death, because I was so frustrated with the art I was doing because it was all just dead matter. And I was just thinking, like, who am I? Why do I have to suffer? And then that brought me to meet my spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada. Okay, and then I'll show you how I began with him. This is where I met him in New York City, in Tompkins Square Park, where he was chanting Hare Krishna under a tree and giving some, teaching all of us like really two-legged animals, meat eating, tons of illicit sex, LSD, marijuana, you name it, we did it. Okay. And then you have the first ones, like Vishnu and the cosmos. First he just gave me pictures to copy. And when I would try to copy them, just very simple pictures, but I would make the feet twice as big as they should have been, and everything was the wrong proportion. So my first bit of technology is that my spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, told me, he gave me the grid system, which is that on the picture, you put a piece of see-through paper and make a grid, that is, break it in half, break that in half, break that in half. So you have eight equal lines horizontally and vertically, and then you do the same thing on the canvas. So then I would just have to copy each little box, and thus they had less chance for mistake. Then another technical way that we improved. Okay. This is our teacher looking at the final book. So another thing with thinking, seeing the end in mind, is thinking of the book that the picture was for. So this is Mother Devaki and Krishna, and you can see it's very, very cartoony. So one of the ways that we improved, that I improved, is that I started using old masters, you know, like Rembrandt, Botticelli, Raphael. I think you know all these names. And then later on we used the Kitsch Waterhouse people, so that you would get more and more realistic. So going to the old masters made a very, very big change in our development. And this is what I used to copy from the old Indian prints. And these were for, our Gurudev used it for his temples, and then later on he wanted me to paint for his books, and then I started going to the library, the art section, and getting the old master's picture. So that really helped a lot. Okay. And this one, you know Lord Nishinadev? So this, in the beginning, I used to use models live and just copy them. It took a really long time. Then, because this is back, you all look young, most of you look very young, so maybe manual cameras were before your time, where we took the picture, and then sometimes I would forget to click it, because I'm never techie. And then I take another picture and another picture without going like that. But then go all the way to the camera store and the whole roll would turn out black after a week of waiting. Then I learned how to click it, and then we got the pictures and then I copied it. So as you can probably see, we use models. And nowadays, of course, now we have high-tech digital cameras where I can take pictures of friends very easily, immediately loaded down in the computer and immediately printed out in our printer. And so, again, we save a lot of time and it becomes more and more realistic. And again, although I don't have the different steps for this painting, I did the first very quick thumbnail sketch, and you can see it's very dramatic. The picture's dramatic, I mean, Lord Nishinadev is ripping him apart. So it can't get much more dramatic than that, and he's screaming. So you can see that the tones are also very dramatic, and the colors are also very dramatic to enhance. Just like in a movie, you know, now they have, if somebody's going to commit a murder, they do the drum rolls and the symphony. So that helps us a lot as well. Also, as you can see, Lord, another thing that helped us for now when we use this same art in our Guru's books, I have no access to that painting. It's in one of our temples in Los Angeles. So Now I found out from my Shiksha Guru, Srila Narayan Goswami Maharaj, whose picture you saw at the very beginning on the TV, that actually the only God is the original God, who is a peacock feather, that's Krishna and Vrindavan, and all of his incarnations never wear peacock feathers. But I put peacock feathers on everybody, Ram, Nisringa, Varaha, just everybody. And so now I'm going to use the picture in the book, how to get it out. So now I have friends, colleagues, who are completely fantastic graphic artists. And we just put the scan into their computer, and as you know, I don't have to tell you, you're all experts. We take out the peacock feather. Okay. Again, Krishna and Dwarka, you know Bhishma, he's leaving his body and his world, lying on the bed of arrows. Dwarkadish Krishna does not wear a peacock feather. So now, if you want to use this for a book, in fact, when we do the slideshow, in that new slideshow that you saw, and not the new slideshow, the DVD, the interactive DVD, you'll find that he doesn't have a peacock feather. Because that's our colleague who made the DVD, I told him which peacock feathers to take out. Another thing that helps a lot is that I found myself getting terribly sick from using the oil paints. I used to be married to someone who, when I was painting for our Gurudev's book, and he walked into the room, he literally practically fainted. I was so used to it that I barely noticed it. But using that turpentine, very, very toxic turpentine, and toxic oil paint, although I was very sick, I didn't get the initial, I was just like chronically sick and I just forced myself to paint. But he was new, so he got the acute toxic odor and practically fainted. So okay, what did I do about that so I could continue painting? Is we switched from, we're still using oil paint, but now we're using water-based oil paint, which means it has no smell, and it doesn't go on the skin like the oil paint did. It doesn't kill you from all the chemicals. It's very mild in comparison. Plus, with water-based paint, I can use water as a medium instead of toxic turpentine. And also, my intermediary step after the toxic turpentine was, I don't know if they have this in India, but we have like lemon smelling turpentine. Mm-hmm. Lemon, lime, orange smelling. So it doesn't kill you when you walk in the room. And now I can use straight water. And for the medium, like, you know, you want to change colors from red to green. So I would put, now I put the, instead of using a toxic medium, now a friend of mine told me, just use soy oil that you cook with, that you get in any store. Now I use soy oil and water, and I could just go on, you know, cooking soy oil. And it makes the perfect medium to make the painting soft. So those are some of the ways that, they didn't make the paintings better, but they made me able to keep painting. So that also increased productivity.
There's a very definite change in the coloring of the previous one. The colors in the previous one are very dramatic.
Uh-huh. This is pastel, yes. And that's because of the subject.
That is,
if you look at the fish, you see that they're underwater. So underwater is like, you know, blue, green, like Miami. The colors of the advertisements in Miami, especially Miami Beach where we were, very blue-green, lavenders, and that's why, like that. And this is, let's see, what would I use? Here we used also photographs, and again, for the new version, we took out the peacock feathers. So we'll just show you quickly these. These are all paintings that I did under the guidance of our initiating guru, Srila Prabhupada. You probably all heard him, the ISKCON guru. And probably a lot of you have seen the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust books, and I did a lot of the paintings in that. So he used, I mean, he didn't know about Stephen Covey, and he didn't know about nonviolent communication, he didn't know about Sasato, he didn't know about the team building games that Dave teaches you all on your forest retreats every month. But because he was a pure devotee, he naturally had those skills in his heart. Because even Stephen Covey is a Christian and he believes in God, and that's his inspiration for making the Seven Habits. So just like, I mean, I was so bad, as you can see a little bit of what I did, but he was so encouraging. Like, I did this one painting in the beginning where it was Vishnu in the cloud lotion. And he had his, the club, you know, the club, the lotus flower, the, what else? Club lotus flower, the disc, and the conch shell. So my club, the picture that I painted from was fine. Very beautiful. You know, the Indian prints, they're very simple, simplistic, and stylized, but they're very sweet. But mine was, my club looked like an ice cream cone. His hands looked like baseball gloves, just like fat, round things. And when Srila Prabhupada saw it, there was a room full of his disciples, and Prabhupada made an announcement that, who could look at this and say this is not God? So I thought, oh gee, yeah, I don't know if I can ever make one that good again, but I sure will try for this great soul who loves me so much. So, by the leaders being very encouraging, and also even when he would just see me, in the beginning, like later on he had about 10,000 disciples, but in the beginning, or even when he had 1,000, whenever I would come in to see him, he would say, Jatudani, like there was only him and me in the universe. And so it just made me feel like I wanted to keep working. And then he taught team spirit by his own example. Like he said, there was once this railroad company, and everybody had the same motto, no matter what their job was. The wheel should keep turning. So if somebody was not that everybody was a driver or everybody turned the wheel. Somebody was an accountant, somebody was the driver of the train, somebody tinkered at the tracks. Somebody was a treasurer, but everybody had the same motto, so they all helped. I remember I read an audio book by Blair Singer on codes of honor, how to interact with each other that make a champion team. You probably heard of all these things here, where one of the codes of honor is to always help a teammate in need. So this helps productivity, because I need the teammate to help me, and if I think just me, not him, so there goes my work as well. And then he would teach us on a spiritual basis that we're all part and parcel of God. So if I'm part of the same person, then why should I hurt another part of the same person? So that would also help us in our team spirit. And then he also had the greatest listening skills. Like he was right there giving his full heart whenever we would talk to him about any problem. And he would write us so many letters. He was so patient because, I mean, I came from the wild, woolly west, knowing nothing about anything, what anything Indian looks like, or to speak of what anything spiritual looks like. But he would be so patient. So here's another thing that helped in my productivity. It's his loving patience in guiding me that this looks like this, and that looks like that. This one has a mustache, and once I made a painting of Narada Muni. You know Narada Muni? So the first one that I did was he loved, because I just copied the picture he gave. But then the next one, I thought, well, I want these pictures to be like the Mona Lisa. And I was in New York where they had a showing of the real original Mona Lisa. And for 3 blocks in New York City, people were lined up. And then the curtain would open when they finally got there in front of the painting. And you get about a 30-second darshan on Mona Lisa. Then you had to go. So I thought, well, I want these Krishna pictures to be that famous. So then I started going to the, again, to the old masters without, in the beginning, I was very undiscriminating what to copy for what. So I made my next Narada Muni for our next temple Like I took a picture of Jesus Christ from Rembrandt or Raphael and made that kind of dhoti instead of the Indian dhoti, and I made him with muscles and gaunt cheeks, just like the old masters. So then when Prabhupada saw that, he said, "You've made him look like a meat eater." He said, "In Vedic culture, milk drinker, they have full smooth skin and sweet red lips. So sometimes I would get really chastised, but because it was so full of love, therefore even though I felt like killing myself, I kept going with more enthusiasm." Any other questions to help guide me?
Sorry.
Any from anybody, actually?
Yeah. How do you want to?
I can skip this. Any questions about how me and my team increased our creativity, productivity, and innovativeness? Or how much time do we have left, I think?
Half an hour more.
Half an hour left. Okay. So, question. That will help me to help you. Sorry? Yes, any particular question? And can you tell me what you mean by innovation? What made the pictures, what was my inspiration in the creativity? Okay. So, my inspiration in the creativity was something fabulous, something that I adored, which is the stories from the ancient Indian Vedas. So, I never, like in the beginning before I met Prabhupada, I would paint pictures because I came from the LSD era of America. So I would just paint, you know, I mean, in that age, in the 60s, there was like Andy Warhol, and who was that guy with the funny mustache? Who made Surrealism? Yeah. Salvador Dali. So we were all into that because our Western culture was so miserable and so zero, so meaningless, that I would draw like ladies with chests with drawers coming out of them with nothing in the drawer, or the LSD squiggles when I was making a bridge, just to get out of my life, because the end was nothing, the end was death. And even if you worked hard and made a lot of money, you lose it all and you die and there's nothing after that. So I had no inspiration for any creativity. Or, as you can see, I made that man lying down, or that still life. And it was so uninspiring. But then, when I came in contact with these beautiful stories in the Vedic literature, I didn't have to really think about, you know, a masterpiece of subject matter. Because our spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, he would have me read his manuscripts, not his manuscripts again, because they came from the ancient Vedas. So the ancient history, the ancient story, and his translation and his purport, and then think of the pictures. And then also another thing that inspired us for the creativity is that we would I would send him drawings or show him a half-finished painting, no matter where he was in the world. And then, of course, in those days, there was no email. There was just snail mail, and if he was in India and I was in New York, then it would take 10 days to get there, 10 days to get back. But because we had so many paintings that we were working on at the same time for his many translations that were coming out, if we didn't get an answer, we had something else that we got an answer to. So, like, even I didn't know what a palm leaf looked like. Can you imagine where I was coming from? So he had to describe how big the palm leaf looked and that it was now hardened. So Rupa Goswami wrote on the palm leaf and then he put it in his thatched hut, which I couldn't imagine what a thatched hut looked like. So gradually we got more and more references. Then we took some trips to India. We took pictures of photos. Then we went to just magazines looking up India. So that helped a lot with the realism and the creativity. In other words, the basic inspiration for the creativity was the subject matter. So inspiring. Every moment was like a new experience. Like here is Krishna playing the flute, and all the deers are coming, and the waves of the Jamuna is just like hands offering the lotus flowers. And Krishna is the color of a fresh rain cloud. Want to show the next one? And here's Krishna calling all the gopis. So that's so exciting. They left all their families and they were so excited to hear Krishna's flute that they dressed upside down. They put their waist belt on their heads and they put makeup only on one eye and they put their choli as a veil. So because of the subject matter itself, it automatically made our creativity very inspiring. And then gradually I did learn how to use the old masters and the Western art, the Western brilliance of realism and naturalism in a right way that didn't animalize or materialize the spiritual personality. I knew what to take from the mundane artists and what to take from the histories of the Vedas and what to take from the Indian prints. Like, for example, how they would have it, what a chatter looked like, for example. I went to the Indian prints and then we would take a picture of one of our god brothers or god sisters with the, the chatter the same way, but then for the designs and the jarring and the beautiful opulence that only India and Indian art knows. So we used a percentage of the devotees modeling, a percentage of the Indian prints. Sometimes then I would go to, now that I lived in India, I could go to Indian shops and get the beautiful, you know, jari thing itself and have the devotee pose right in that. So that increased our creativity also to make it more bona fide. Like our teacher, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote to us that Krishna's philosophy must be illustrated, but it must be according to the parampara or the cyclic succession from Krishna to Brahma to Vyasa to Madhva all the way down to the present time. It must be according to the parampara revelation of the Absolute Truth and to match scripture, not to concoct. Like, I couldn't make Krishna green, but I could make Ram green. So we had to follow the scriptures. So because everything was so exciting, and then we knew what to take from the old masters, like you see this lady here? Lady, see the gopi here? I got her from one Raphael print. But I knew what to take. That is, just now she still looks Indian, doesn't she? She still looks like she could be a gopi. And her cloth, she just put what belongs on the bottom on top, what belongs on the top on the bottom. And this second one, because their dresses are all flying haphazardly, I could take the flying dress from the old masters, and it fits. And this one here is going like that. I took that from another old master's picture. But by now, after the chastisement and practicing, and now more and more devotee artists were joining our team. So number one, they would critique our art. Here's the thing that really helped too. Being receptive, listening skills, being receptive to hearing another person's criticism of my work. At first I couldn't, and I would just stomp out of the room and then lose a lot of time and lose a lot of good input. Later on, I developed a philosophy which was also based on a little bit of selfishness, a little false ego, but it worked a lot better. That is, the paintings were going to be used in books that were going to be printed 20,000, 50,000 books. So I changed my philosophy is that don't tell me I did anything wrong, too. I'd rather hear what I did wrong before the book comes out, that is, while I'm still working on it, than to hear about it after 50,000 pictures or copies. But then we had a team of artists, and really most of them were better than me. So we had a lot of critique sessions where all of us would go from one of the artist's paintings to the next, and then the artist would write down as we spoke and said, that should be bigger, that should be lighter or darker, and he would write it down, and then we'd all go back to our places and act on whatever the whole team suggested. So those were all things that helped in the creativity. Does that help answer that?
Okay. Focus and concentration, because painting needs you to spend...
Say that again?
Painting needs you to spend long hours.
Oh, yes. So how do you, thank you.
How do you get your focus and concentration?
Right. Thank you so much for coming. Huh? Wait, can we just say something before you go? Because we want to give you a present.
One thing I want to mention is that the most amazing thing is your ability to conceptualize the whole thing in your head before you put it out.
Oh.
Because that, to me, when I look at, for example, it's not just a painting, it's just I look at a Beethoven's symphony, or I look at the Pauline Potter, or I look at it, your ability to conceptualize something in your head before you put it down, and to that's the most productive form of it.
Uh-huh, right.
And that is what is coming out to me strongly from me.
That's so interesting. Thank you so much for that. I want to give you a couple of presents before you go.
Oh, we're seeing everybody can choose one.
All right. And a little book.
It's a bit difficult, right?
I just give them all four.
Thank you very much.
One more gift before you go. Okay. This is
I didn't mean to barge out, but I just got a phone call.
That's fine. I totally understand. This is an offer. This is a booklet that has some of my paintings in it.
Thank you very much.
Thank
nice
you.
Meeting.
Nice
meeting
you. See you soon. I hope. Thanks again for coming. So now your question is, Ram Prasad. Right. This saying, I think it was by Picasso, that art is long and life is short. It takes a lot and lot of hours and lots of days and lots of weeks to make a painting. In fact, this painting here, can you pass the Saber-Cringe? And can you go to the Saber-Cringe? We're going to show you a painting that, this one here, which is this one here. And if any of you guys can have this before you go, we're going to be giving out the posters. So this one, this was my longest one that ever took. This took about 5 months, and I was working on it like 14 hours a day for the expense of health. Because when you sit in one place, you know, your bones start dilapidating and everything goes wrong. So this took 5 months at about 14 hours a day, and there's lots of paintings under that. That is, I did Krishna's leg over about 10 times, Radharani's face over maybe 15 times. You don't see it, of course, because by the nature of oils, and why I chose to do the paintings in oils, is for dumbbells like me who make millions of mistakes, and then none of the mistakes show at the end. Whereas if I was using watercolor, I just get one or two chances, and that's it. So, the painting took 5 months, and previously, my paintings were only taking one and a half months. Of course, they weren't so big, but this is the first painting that I did for my instructing spiritual master, that is Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. And it's the first painting where he was guiding it, like, from every detail. He posed, you know, he's like a pure devotee, Jokhalite soul, big acharya, and he's posing for Radha and Krishna. So that was inspirational that he would take the time to do that for me. And then, so he explained everything, like that. You should have some betel nuts, and he told me what the birds were doing with the conversation that they were having, and who that peacock is, Tandavika, the pet peacock of Krishna, and what Krishna was thinking, how they're crying with a certain kind of bhavana, a certain kind of mood that's described in the ancient Vedas and their pastimes called Kilakinchi Dabhav, which is a lot of apparently contradictory emotions. Because now, from this stage, from this painting onward, and I will show you the paintings that I did for Srila Gurudev, there's more of what the person is thinking and what their mood is. Because I would show him the picture like 10 or 15 times from the sketch stage to the end. And he would help with every detail of it. So when I asked him, how come this took 5 months? He said, because I had to push my will through your will, and that's what took so long. So now if we can get a little bit into the spiritual aspect, I told him once that I feel like I'm painting in the dark because I never know what the next stroke should be, really. I make a stroke, and then I say, okay, who's going to do the next stroke? But there's nobody else in the room. So I realize, okay, I have to do the next stroke. And I just don't know what I'm doing. So I told him, I feel like I'm painting in the dark. I don't know what I'm doing. So he said, no, you're painting by my light. So that confirmed what he said before, which was that I had to push my will through your will. So another thing that keeps me going, hour after hour and day after day, and sacrificing all other, not all other activities, because I also read and I also chant, and the chanting, you've heard of mantra meditation. So our initiating guru back from the 1960s, Srila Prabhupada, he said in the beginning she could not paint, but then I have taught her how to paint. And then he went like this in the air, pretending he was painting, and he went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. By chanting, and then he confirmed that so many, many times, he said she could not paint, but by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering him, the talent came out. So in the beginning, what was his name, the gentleman, your friend?
Rajiv.
Like what Rajiv said is the thing that impressed him the most was our, and I'll put a quote and a quote, our ability or my ability, the quote, my ability, to be able to think of the end at the beginning. So actually sometimes we would do like 4 or 5 of those thumbnail sketches, put them on the wall, and one of them called out, it's me. But still, that ability was there to conceive of the end at the beginning. So I owe that ability to, one is my guru's mercy, because I prayed to him. Like once I complained to Prabhupada that my paintings are coming out so slow. Your books are coming out fast, and my paintings are coming out so slowly. So what can I do to paint faster and better? So he said, first he gave me the encouragement that a mother gives a little baby. Oh, you're so intelligent, you're so talented. And then he said, plus you're also such a good devotee, which I wasn't, and I'm still not. But again, encouragement of a little baby, leadership skills, which he naturally had. So therefore you know that if you pray to Krishna sincerely, then he will help you to paint faster and better. So one technique that he gave me was praying to Krishna, and another technique was chanting. So I chanted the mantra in my mind when I painted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Plus, in my ears were always, like in the olden days, we had cassette tapes. Do you remember those days? Cassette tapes. So our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, would give lectures about Krishna consciousness all over the world. Plus, he dictated the Krishna books, which was the pastimes of Krishna. And he dictated the Srimad Bhagavatam translation. So a lot of times I would just listen to that while I painted. And if I thought about the painting, then I would think this is too hard and I just don't know what to do, as I mentioned. But if I was listening to the tape of the Hari Katha, then, and I wasn't thinking of the painting so much, it would come out better. And also sometimes God brothers and God sisters would come and ask me questions about the philosophy, like new people. So then I would talk to them and tell them how they could tell while I was painting. And again, it took my mind off. I know you're not going to do this while you're making a mobile phone chip, but I hope that what I'm saying you can apply somehow. Hope somehow or other, and you can translate it into your own language and apply it. So then when I would be speaking, I'd look at the painting and they would just know that I am with them, but I have to keep looking at the painting because I can't stop, because our Srila Prabhupada was on a marathon to get the Western world familiar with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So there was like 12 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes of the Krishna book, 6 fat Bhagavad Gita, what else did we do? 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we had to do 17 volumes in 2 months. So we were on the move. So I couldn't always talk to the person when they would ask me questions, but just because I was not thinking of the work, but I was thinking of the Hari Katha, that also helped make the picture come out better. And I still do that to this day. I also talk. And I also hear. So now I'm hearing from an MP3 player or from a computer. Does that help with how I'm able to spend so many hours?
Because when we spend a lot of hours, the mind tends to jump here and there.
Mind jumps.
It doesn't focus on the soul. Is there any other thing you might
think? Right. What else do I do? I do varieties of things. Like, for these later paintings, we'll show you them. Some of these later paintings, I took on the road. That is, I traveled either with Gurudev, and just as his assistant, and sometimes I traveled on my own to give Hari Katha for him and for Prabhupada. And then I would bring the drawings and the painting, particularly when I was working for Bhagavad Gita, and just do it in the off times when I wasn't giving classes. So then I had the variety. Also, by hearing the tapes and the kirtans, that gave me the inspiration to be able to spend many hours. Also, as you said, the mind becomes dull, and then I didn't realize that I was doing something wrong. So the next day when I would come in, I would see that I did it wrong and I'd have to do it over. So one thing that helps, as you said, take a break, or as Stephen Covey says, putting first things first, that is meditation and variety, or he also calls that sharpening the saw, doing other things, not just keeping on working when you don't know what you're doing and it's coming out wrong, or just like the guy who's sharpening, didn't sharpen the saw but he's still sawing and the work is taking 10 times as long. So helping would have people come over and tell me from an outsider's point of view what they thought. That's one thing that helped me to keep my mind fresh. Another thing is chanting, another thing is hearing the tapes, and another thing is variety. Like, it used to be that when we had a marathon, I would just work all day and then all night. And then I didn't realize how it looked. But then if I actually took the break and came back, then I have a fresh start. Or even just standing back, like when you're looking at something very close, you're not seeing what's happening around that little thing you're working on. So standing back and looking at it, and again seeing the whole thing, Like, well, I did that, so that affects that part very adversely. Always considering the whole. And then I come back and work in on the more details. Does that help? Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Can you give maybe another example of how you said going from independent productivity to interdependent productivity and some of the interpersonal obstacles and how you overcame them? Is that clear?
You're asking about how I changed from just doing something myself to working with a team
and synergizing.
And
dealing with the obstacles that come from within to...
Dealing with the obstacles that come within to responding.
Or just...
Interacting.
Choosing the overall goal rather than your individual conception.
You mean like working with a win-win?
Yeah.
To go with a win-lose or a win-win?
Not my way or the highway, but the best way for everybody.
Yeah, in the beginning it was my way or the highway. Many, many years ago, and then I'd lose a lot of helpers who were really excellent. Like the bas reliefs and the line drawing, a lot of the success of that is the fact that we're the team. And, can you show the Prem Samput painting? In the Prem Samput, I did not have a win-win, and therefore the painting took four times as long as it should have. One of my god sisters, Manjari, she painted. She worked all night. I did the day shift, she did the night shift. And she worked in the background for those creepers. And I didn't like it. And instead of telling her how she could, or suggesting to her in a gentle, sweet way, how she could improve them, then when she rested, I changed them. And when I did that enough times, she just left. And didn't want to work with me anymore. So I really lost that way because she was a highly skilled painter. And perhaps she just hadn't, like there's a saying, don't show a fool a half-finished piece of work. So I was looking at her half-finished work and thinking, well, I don't like it, I'll do it over myself. So that's one way that I learned my lesson. And what else of synergy? That is, here's another thing that I did wrong. I missed my meditation. So, you see that hand of Krishna? I'm supposed to say my Gayatri mantra at a certain time. That is when the sun is not up yet, but it's a little bit light out. And that's a must for our rules and regulations of spiritual advancement. But I thought, nope, I'm not going to say my Gayatri now. I'm going to work on that hand. It's more important. So I worked on the hand for about 2 hours, and then I stepped back, and I saw that actually, I had put the hand here, and it was wrong because it made his arm too short. So I lost the time anyway. So that's like, I lost out both ways. I lost my spiritual credit, and I lost my time on the painting.
First things first.
Meditation time, meditate. Putting the spiritual life before the practical. Of course, this is also for spiritual life because it's Guru Seva, but that other thing was very timely. So do first things first. And what other part of your question?
Yeah. How did you, in a personal interaction with someone, was there a way that you, tools that you were learning to use, so that you could work together harmoniously and not get stuck in the old my ego versus your ego?
Sure. First, it was in about 6 years ago, a god sister said to me that, because I also lecture on the subject of Krishna consciousness around the world, so she said to me, you know, when you give a lecture, you just talk, you sound like you just talk to hear yourself talk and to hear how much you know. You're not conscious of your audience and what they need to hear and what they're receiving and not receiving and what you're giving. So here, I'm giving you $100 to take a course in Satsato. That's one of the kinds of communication skills. So I took the course and realized how off I was to not work with a team and to think my way or the highway. And then I started listening. And then I started learning the skills of listening, which Prabhupada and Gurudev automatically have because of their purity. Sometimes devotees criticize me and say, these communication skills are not bhakti. How to sit, how to look, and sort of smile at the person while they're talking, nod a little bit, don't look at your watch when the person is talking. This is not bhakti. Why are you learning these things? And why are you trying to teach us these things? So, but by doing that, I was able to learn more from other devotees, and thus my work got better. Like, don't do this, do this. I learned what to do, what not to do. And again, I'm getting help now from that devotee from the Philippines who's making the interactive CD. Because I'm hearing if he has a problem with it. I'm hearing that if I tell him something after he already does one technical part, you know, the background part when you're making a website. What do you call that part? The back end. That you tell me, just change this word. But if I've already done the back end, then I have to take 6 hours to change that word. So if I think, well, who cares? I'll decide when I want to decide what to tell you. Then, number one, he'll quit, or I'll miss the deadline for when the DVD is supposed to come out. So I'm hearing him say, wow, please forgive me, and I'll do it right the next time. I'll try to understand if he has already done the back end, and I'll try to be more careful that the words that I give him, the content, I have to get Vasanti to do the proofreading before sending it out. Not just that I do it, but I have to ask Vasanti to do the proofreading so he doesn't have to change it after he does the back end. And then, if I just walk up to Vasanti early in the morning and say, oh, by the way, can you do the back end without saying good morning, how are you, first, then she's going to be a little disgruntled and may not want to do it. So gradually, by reading the books like Nonviolent Communication, and I'm seeing that our Srila Gurudev, he was once giving a course in Bhakti Tattva Vivek, which is the discrimination, well, no, the meaning, the discrimination on the principles of bhakti. He said, first I'm going to tell you something, and if you don't understand this, you'll never understand anything of the rest of the course on bhakti. And he said, he quoted one verse in the scripture, thinking oneself to be more tolerant than a tree, lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, offering all respect to others without desiring any for myself. If you don't understand this principle, you'll never understand anything. And then he said, when you approach somebody for a conversation, don't try to push your will that only I know, and you have to listen to my way, but rather hear what his feelings are, what his needs are, what he's thinking, what makes him happy about the whole interchange, what makes him distressed, or what is his distress about some entirely other matter. First hear him, and then together figure out how the thing is to be done. And that goes with nonviolent communication, that goes with Stephen Covey, first seek to understand, and then worry about the other person understanding you. You won't even have to worry about it. If you only try to understand, do empathic listening with the listening skills, reflective listening, automatically he'll want to please you because hardly anybody ever listens to him. And the greatest need of a human being is that he's heard, appreciated, and understood. So if I can do that, automatically he wants to work with me, automatically he wants to hear me, without my having to say, now I want you to hear me. So I'm learning the skills that I'm embarrassed to say that the materialists know. Like this is you could say it's a material company, IT, mobile phones, chips, but Dave takes you out once a month, or when there's a need, when there's some kind of quarreling, and he teaches the principles of team building and the principles of reflective listening. So rather than saying it's not bhakti, I'm embarrassed to say that we who are supposed to be bhaktas, who are supposed to be devotees, who are supposed to be in connection with the Supreme, who are supposed to love all living entities as we love ourselves, because they're all part and parcel of Krishna, I'm embarrassed to say that we don't know it. So what kind of devotees are we? In the name of devotion, I'm just selfish. So these listening skills and nonviolent communication, seven habits, codes of honor, satsatog, they're helping me so much in my interdealings to make more of the synergy so that I'm able to get much more done. And it helps with my spiritual life, because if I'm thinking that person did that and I have to get back at them, then what am I going to paint and what am I going to chant during my chanting time?
So we have
no time left.
Okay.
It goes to what?
It goes.
Do you have time to say? I'd like to make an announcement that what? What's my announcement?
At the end.
Okay. There's a question?
I think the audience can push back.
I have a question. Could you say something on how you quantize the abstract thoughts? I mean,
quantize means what?
I think when you're probably
making tangible.
Yeah. When you are about to draw that tree, for example.
Draw the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
very good.
There was a thought that would have come, and then you have to give it a form, and then bring it to the real world. And then probably when you're painting this, you go back and then you switch between these two.
Very good. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I mean, can you control it, or how do you?
I hope that I understand your question. How to go back and forth between the form, like a tree, a person, a hand, and the abstract subject matter, because in the beginning I mentioned that there's actually three subject matters. Like there's Radha and Krishna, that's one subject matter, and then there's the drama of it, the interaction of the tones and colors, that's another. There's two subject matters. The abstract underneath the pastime that's going on. So how do I make them two work together? That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I learned this principle in, I think, 1981, when I took a course for 1 year in Colorado, in, I forget the name of the art school, but I learned I took a course. The whole school was based on the principles and elements of design. And there were books about that, and this whole school taught it. That is, there's seven principles and 11 elements of design. There's size, an abstract consideration. That is, if I pull back the boxes, and I'm just making boxes flying in the sky, and if I pull back and those boxes are very small, flying in the sky, or squares, because there's a certain kind of impression. And if I bring the boxes up, where some of the boxes are only seen by the corner, and it's all very big, it's more imposing. It gives a feeling of that the audience is being imposed upon. So there's emotion that also comes in play. The abstract emotion, or not even abstract, the emotion of the viewer. You could say that's abstract because it comes by an abstract principle of how I'm going to use size. It's an element of design, a principle of design. Repetition is also very important in design, just like with music, like with Mozart. But repetition, also in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rhythm. So there's rhythm also in where I place my darshan lights to make that emotion, and where I place my colors. So that I had to consider. And then there's the whole drama of the tone. So for example, when I do the initial thumbnail sketch, and then I do a tone sketch all over that, sometimes I have to change the thumbnail sketch to match the drama of the tone. Or sometimes instead of starting a thumbnail sketch with lines, one technique that I learned in this art school was starting with just abstracts, total abstracts of, I don't know how I can show you, I hope that I can convey the idea, is first you break the canvas with a line, a curved line or a straight line. Now I have two spaces that are working together. Now I'm going to break it again. And then I'm going to break it again. And each time I'm breaking it, I'm breaking with a consideration only of abstract design. No pastime of Krishna. Then I'll color that in with just, I'm using charcoal. Because charcoal, and a certain kind of charcoal, it's not the very, very soft charcoal, but it's semi-hard charcoal. So that then I just put in my tones in each of those spaces that I've created. And I'm using four tones. 100% black. Is this boring you to death? 100% black, 100% white, 25% black, which is gray, light gray, and 75% black, which is dark gray. And then, so then I'm making a design where all those combined together will look like an interesting abstract, no thought of a pastime. And then, because it's charcoal, but it's not too soft charcoal, I'm taking this is called a smudge thing. I forget what you call it, but it smudges. It's just made of paper and it doesn't have any color on it. And then I'll smudge. Now I'm starting to think of my pastime. And I'm smudging, and that gives me an idea of what the pastime is. I did this for my painting of Lord Chaitanya as a baby playing with Ananta Shesh. She took the form of a little serpent in his backyard. So then I'm thinking, I want to make a pastime out of this. So I do something, I do a few things to make the pastime. Oh, that looks like a pastime, but then again, it doesn't look like such a good design anymore. So then I do something else for the design. I need a black, 100% black here. And then, okay, well that doesn't hurt, I can make that as hair. Well, she tends his hair. Okay, no problem. But then I need a white here to make the design good. Okay, so what could that be? That could be a mat that he sit on. Okay. And then what does the design need? And that way, I'll go back and forth between the abstract and the pastime, back and forth, until I'm satisfied that both are done. So it started from total abstract. I know in general that I want to do Lord Chaitanya playing with his snake, and his mother's in the background, and she's horrified that my kid's going to get killed by the snake, but actually Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna, and the snake is non-different from Ananta Shesh. You all know Ananta Shesh, who is the couch of Lord Vishnu. I'm so glad I'm doing an Indian IT group instead of an American, because they'd never know what I was talking about. So that's one example of how I did that. And I do that even when I'm starting with the thumbnail line drawing, I'm always considering the pastime with the abstract. So thank you for bringing that up. Does that help?
Yep.
Any other questions?
could you speak something about like in recent times in Bangalore, it's one of the centers of outsourcing animation, people with all kinds of different talents here, and you know the hardware and software has come to a point where it's possible to do things, collaborations, you know, international collaborations going on all the time. So, like about bringing these paintings to life, I mean, not to life like they don't have life, but like the animation, movement, you know, combining all the elements you've been speaking about with the elements of a drama, of a theater performance, and also how to bring people to work together on something like that, about team building, and about how it might be possible to do something like that, which isn't necessarily a straight business venture, you know?
Yeah, because in the quote-unquote material world, people get paid, and if they get paid, they want to work, so they have to maintain themselves. But in our, you're saying that in our movement, it's all volunteers. So how to inspire volunteers to work?
Yeah, and also some people be paid also. Like
some people
when we build
paid.
A temple, we hire people to build
exactly.
a temple.
Exactly.
But it's overseen usually by volunteers.
Right. So the question is.
So just it's kind of a pretty general question.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what are your thoughts on that whole subject matter?
The whole subject matter. I'll repeat it. Tell me if I got it right. Yeah, I learned that. I learned how to repeat in a communication school course. Otherwise, I'm going to ask a question, I'm going to spend 10 minutes, and you're going to say, well, that wasn't exactly my question. So tell me if I got this right. So we have the art. Then the art, if there's a good team, a synergistic team, that is working together happily with win-win, we can turn, say, a painting into a dramatic animation, or we can turn it into a graphic novel. So your question exactly is?
And also with new technology.
With new technology we can do what?
Even painting can be faster, you know, they have those tablets you can draw right on.
Oh, by tablets, yes.
You know how to use new technology, how to use team building skills. Your thoughts on this. It's a very general question.
Well, I can't say how to because I don't know how to make an animation, so I'm not exactly sure. Well, with that, we need synergy, wouldn't we? We'd have to go back to the. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. So I'm not exactly sure of how to answer the question.
I'll narrow my question then.
Okay.
About the team building and about synergy and about how, because this that kind of project requires a lot of people to do, and maybe it require money.
Are you asking because you're thinking of doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it may require money also to hire people, like building a temple. You have some people that you want to make. And
so then, because we don't have money, we want to get donations, for example.
Yeah.
So then we have to inspire other people to give a donation.
Is
it okay to take offline?
Sorry?
Is it okay to take the question offline?
Offline means out of the
audience cannot be
following.
Okay, we can discuss that. Okay. So let's, all right, we can answer.
Yeah.
We could do a video of that another time. That's for his question.
Yeah, we can maybe take it offline in the car.
Okay, we'll do that. So then, let me ask a question from the people who work here. Okay.
So maybe, how many Indian artists are there, like maybe Ravi Verma or something? Do you got any inspiration to those paintings or something like that? You already used some.
So you're asking, do I get inspiration? Because before I said how I get inspiration from the Western old masters. And you're asking if I also get inspiration from Indian artists. I mentioned that a little bit. That's a good question. I mentioned that a little bit before. That is, what things look like. That is, chatters, dhotis, or ornaments tremendously. I love the Indian arts because a lot of times when we engage artists from all different countries like Russia and China, and then, you know, you're seeing Chinese Krishnas with Chinese jewelry, and so, and what to speak of Russian, which is like so tasteless. The Indian art is extremely beautiful, and sometimes I would go to the Indian stores, in fact, like in Vrindavan, the epitome of gorgeous jewelry, and sometimes I would lend or purchase, in the Makutwalas, we'd get the peacock feathers and the jewelry we'd sometimes borrow or purchase because they're so cheap, and then especially from the Indian artists. I don't particularly know a lot of the names, but like B.G. Sharma, or there's a Bengali artist who I don't know his name, Banerjee. And a lot of the Indian artists we get tremendous inspiration for, like just the eyes that look like lotus petals, and the eyelids in comparison to the eyelids in combination with the eye to look like a big blooming lotus petal. And just the shapes, the lips, the faces. As I mentioned, my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada said I made Narada Muni into looking like a meat eater with gaunt cheeks and muscles. So we get me and my team get tremendous inspiration. And I have so many notebooks, loose leaf notebooks, full with the Indian art. Yes, thank you so much. Houses, palaces. So like sometimes we combine, like I go around Vrindavan and take pictures of the architecture. I went to Jaipur and took pictures of the architecture. And South India also. I didn't go there, this is my first trip. But from magazines we get a picture of the architecture and combining it with the Indian prints of how they make palaces, how they make people's homes, what kind of gardens, and then combine, we refer a ton to that. The clothing, the helmets, jewelry, palaces, what to speak of, the trees, the type of trees. Like in the Krishna pastimes, there's so many, you read about in the ancient Vedas, how the trees all have creepers and hanging vines. But then when I see them in real life, in this Kali Yuga, in ancient time and present time, it doesn't look like, it sounded like when I would read it. So then by looking at the Indian pictures, the Kangra paintings, for example, and combining that with the photographs, then together combining the East and the West. Yes.
So apart from making the painting for the book, so what happens to the actual paintings that you make? So are they kept in the temples or?
Some of them were kept in temples. Some of them are actually just sitting in people's houses, and I'm trying to figure out how we can sell the original. The bas reliefs, as I mentioned, are in our Govardhan temple. They're used for books, and then Venugopal made a graphic novel using my paintings in some parts of his graphic novel. And what else are they used for? We make giclées. You know, giclées are like the highest end print, where it takes one picture 45 minutes to come out of the print. They're a big machine that costs like $10 million for one machine. So we make giclées and we sell them around the world. And he's going to pass out these graphic novels.
Oh,
how many do you have here? We'd like to give you as gifts, anybody who wants this graphic novel.
We have a website also,
Bhakti Art, where anybody can go and see the art and descriptions of the art and purchase posters like these we're going to give you all just as gifts to you because we like you so much. But we also sell the posters around the world and also on our Bhakti Art website. And we're going to give any of you just gifts. We have 7 of these today and 7 of you want these. Mm-hmm. They're just gifts for you all today. Mm-hmm. So like this is a painting that I did for Prabhupada's book. this is a painting I did for Prabhupada's book, and then other people use it in their production. So all those different ways.
But have you thought of using it, I mean, auctioning it and using the money for the charity?
We use the art, we use that for charity. That is, we're almost finished with building a temple in Navadvip where Dave is from. And there it seats 17,000 people. So half the profits, previously all the profits of the art went to build that temple. And now half the profit of the art goes to finish the temple, and the other half of the profit of the art goes for free book sponsorship. Like, for example, we're going to give you all free books today. And what paid for that is the sale of the art. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all totally non-profit.
Is it
I'm sorry? What about Bangalore ISKCON? I don't know what they have in the ISKCON temple. This is my first time here. And but I train, just whenever I meet anybody who is doing any Krishna art, then they show me their work, and from where they're starting, I show them whatever I know. We also have the art in our temple in Bangalore called... Do you have the information? And if anybody would like to give their email address, then we can send you his